So from the viewpoint of the kings, we want to go back to where it all started. So we'll see in point one, we'll see the outlook of the kingly line, and we'll have a look at the charter that God gave to the children of Israel regarding kings, and we'll see how they fared, how they rejected what God wanted and how God graciously permitted Saul to be appointed. And we'll briefly acknowledge the faithful kings and the unfaithful kings or shepherds. And in the middle of that, in point six, we'll see that there is a true king coming for Judah and Israel, and that whatever happened to these kings, however they fared, God would not break his oath-sworn promises that he would have a king ready and a king would reign over them and of the whole world forever and ever. That's getting an idea of going down into the royal family. So we're sort of going into Buckingham Palace now, you see, and getting the idea of kingship in the nation of Israel. What is it all like? Looking back and looking forward. So we can visit any king and see their perspective and their viewpoint of the past and out into the future what God wanted. Of course, this won't happen in Buckingham Palace, but it will happen in the royal house of David in Jerusalem. Okay, that's God's place where he's placed his name forever and ever. God has to have a center. We know the Lord's throne is in the heavens, and for his activities on earth, it's Jerusalem and Israel. And Israel is called the navel of the earth, the center of the earth. And from there, he has done and will do his redemptive acts. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ visit when he came? He came to the land of Israel, just a very small portion of land. And he stayed there. And when the Lord, he did his redemptive work there. He offered himself on the cross. And then when he comes back, where is he coming back to? He's going to land, his feet's going to be landing on the Mount of Olives. And the throne of David is going to be set up there forever and ever. And all the nations of the world will come and worship him. And all of Israel and of the church will go out in administration in the coming age, in the coming kingdom. So that piece of real estate is very, very important to God. And then incidentally, how does the book of the Bible close? How does the book of the Revelation close? At the return of Jesus, very good. A holy city. The holy city going where? Mars? Saturn? Pluto? The Andromeda Galaxy? 2 million miles away? Light years away? No, it's coming down from out of heaven, from God, to dwell amongst men. So, the third rock from the sun seems to be very important to God, even in the new heavens and the new earth. That's where he's going to bring his holy city down. I'm waiting for the holy city. I'm like Abraham. I'm looking for that city. Now, I've got a theory, and we had a dear brother in one meeting, Oatley Gospel Chapel. He always used to say, chapter and verse, brother, chapter and verse. And I said, I don't have a chapter and verse for this, but it's the holy city is called the Tabernacle. And I think it might be doing some trips around the new universe when the Lord comes back. And, that's going to be my home and yours, isn't it? Yeah, amen. Going in there. What a wonderful thing. It says, they will see his face and his servants will serve him. Let's have a look at that slide now. We must hurry on. Turn the page, please. Sorry. Oh, incidentally, we just point out to you that geographically this is what we're talking about. Here is the northern kingdom, Israel, and here is the southern kingdom, Judah, with the capital of Jerusalem and the capital of Samaria. Now, this is the viewpoint of the kings. Let's have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, please. Here is the charter that God gave to these kings that you read about in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 to 20. This is good advice from God. And this would be a good advice for all of our leaders in the world, even in Australia and England and America. And this is what the advice is. Deuteronomy 17, 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set up a king over me like all the nations that are around me. God anticipates their waywardness. Yet you shall surely set a king over him whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. You shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, no military might, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said, you shall not return that way again, no military might. Neither shall you multiply wives for yourself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly... That is a real big problem. Sex. And continuing, nor shall you greatly multiply silver and gold for your wealth. That's the danger for yourself, the danger of wealth. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law of the book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So what was one of the commissions? Four commissions of the king. Number one, military might, don't multiply horses. Your wars are going to be entirely different from all the other wars of the nations around you. Military might. Of course, that's the way this today, isn't it? They have to evaluate their armaments, whether they've got more tanks than mine and so on. God said, no horses, no military might. I'm fighting for you. And then number two, watch this matter of sex. Then number three, watch this matter of money. Aren't these the downfall, sir? Someone has said, rightly so, where there's a problem. There's always sex or money behind it. True. And the fourth one is, and notice this one, very important. This book of the law, the first five books of Moses, what was the king to do? He was to write it out himself by hand. And he was to read it all the days of his life. That's the charter. What an amazing commission. It takes about 1 year for the Bible to be written out by hand. And it wasn't until Gutenberg that they had to do it all by hand. And then the printing press came along. Praise the Lord, printing press. They had to write it out by hand. Why? Why couldn't they just ask the priest, give us a copy of that was given to Moses? I want to write. No. Why write it out? To remember it, writing it, yes. Write out 100 times, I must not laugh in class. to remember it. That's right. Write it out. And so that was God's way of keeping the kings. What happened? Well, there's only a handful. And there was one incident that they'd lost it altogether. And Hilkiah the priest was digging around, and you clean up in your homes, and oh, look, we found this. Look at this. We've just done that recently. And Hilkiah the priest was digging, and here's the copy scrolls of the Word of God. And he takes it to the king, and the king reads it, and he tears his clothes. Oh, how far they departed from God. We can do that, brothers and sisters, can't we? You have a Bible, you can have a shelf of lovely Bibles, all different versions and all lovely bindings and so on. And it can be all on the page, but not in here. How true. Anyhow, that's what the king had to do. He had to look back. And that was the original commission. So you have there 1 Chronicles chapter 22. For the sake of time, we won't turn to it. from 1 Chronicles 22, there is a reminder that as they were going on, all the kings were going on, they were to be doing all that was commanded in the law of Moses.